Essentially, it is an online course targeting the parents of the learner drivers. The why is that it's needed. I think parents are a huge tool that we can be using to create a safer driver. Sadly, have lost 4 members of our youngsters over the last 18 months, 2 years. And so when, I mean, the first one was sad enough, the second one was awful. And at the point of the second one, you think, no, something's got to change here. Nothing's being learned. No lessons, nothing's moving on. We just sat here waiting for the next one. And then sadly, we had the third and the fourth that passed away this autumn, well, Christmas. And it was just awful. And that's why, because something has to change.
Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops. Welcome to Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, and we have a special episode today because we are going to be having a guest on, and I'd like to welcome to the podcast Kate Monk, who is the owner and creator of My Learner Driver. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. So, Kate, before we get on to talking about My Learner Driver and what we're here to talk about, I think it would be helpful for everyone listening to just kind of know a little bit about yourself and like who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a driving instructor, much like you. I'm based in West Devon, though, although I did my training in the Newton Abbot area. So I've been an instructor now for about 10 years. I've taken lots of gaps within it. I've come back to it. I keep trying different things as I go along, but I keep coming back because I love it too much. So here I am stuck for now. So I am a mum. I have 2 young children. I juggle work with the kids. I train instructors these days, but only on a small scale. Have no desire to open my own driving school. It looks far too stressful. So I'm quite happy. I enjoy the process, but not the administration that goes with it. So just dabble.
I can vouch for that.
Yes.
Although I then did decide to open a second driving school. So don't know what that's
like. And you've gone big as well.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, obviously and I think probably the key thing I want to kind of get across there is obviously because of the product we're talking about is the fact you are a driving instructor. So it's coming from a driving instructor's perspective, which is quite nice. So should we talk a little bit about what it is? What because like people won't know. So what is My Learner Driver?
So it essentially is an online course targeting the parents of the learner drivers. Looking to improve their drive and model better driving to their children so that we have a generally safer attitude towards roads and learning and the whole process in general. But alongside that, some really useful tools that they can actually use in their private practice and a bit more structured guide to the private practice so that they can really make the most of that time. And also a guide on how to work with the driving instructor. So this doesn't at all replace a driving instructor. It's just how we can all work together to create a much safer driver with a much safer attitude and a family who understand the process a little bit better.
I like that. Yeah, so it's kind of bringing it all together. It's kind of what, like, if you think about it, like you said, not replacing the driving instructor, but I certainly have seen more and more private practice over in recent times. I think COVID and the fact that instructors didn't have any availability caused that. I think the cost of lessons now.
I think cost. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm being pushed by parents all the time to get through as quickly, as cheaply as physically possible by any means. They can't afford to pay the full whack of everything. So that's. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I'm quite specific from the beginning that you know you're having the full works. I can't live with myself if you don't. But there are many out there that aren't able to and will take those shortcuts for as parents, that is. And I think it's important that if they're going to do that, we can't stop them. It's going to happen, but we can give them some tools to make sure those gaps are filled.
Yeah, because I suppose the end goal is to create a safe driver to go out onto the road. How we get there doesn't matter really, as long as we get to that safe driver. So yes, whether it is that combo of private practice and driving instructor, and that ratio changes. It's like you said, you want that time with the private practice to be more efficient and more useful rather than sometimes unhelpful. Generally, I generally find it's helpful.
I'd go with more than sometimes in my case. They
Yeah.
ruin them.
Yeah. But I always think the experience on the road definitely helps with things like car control, and they tend to come back a little bit more capable of driving the car,
Yeah.
but not necessarily good at making, like, the driver brain hasn't been developed as much, I think.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that's kind of what I've had in mind, is that they come to our car with zero experience. They've never even thought about how to drive, and we're expecting them to move pretty quickly through that car control into being able to drive, or parents are expecting it anyway. And when you look at their actual reactions, they're just not seeing the danger a lot of the time. So we're not going to get a reaction. They can't plan because they're not seeing it. And actually, that whole process of learning to see what's happening in the road ahead can happen years before they get in the car with us. That's something that the parents can be doing. And I've written a course that will help guide the parents through how to achieve that.
Yeah, no, I love that. So I'm going to roll back a little bit here before we go into more depth about what's in the course, and just sort of ask you why. Why have you done this?
Why? It's a question I ask myself most days because it's utterly insane. I am a busy mom of two and I have very little free time. I run my own business. So this is very much a why have I done this? So I had this all in mind wind back before COVID. I wanted to write a book. That was back when people actually read books, but I had a baby, but I had two, and they're all a little bit older now, and life's a little bit easier from my side. And I had hoped someone else would, write this all first and I wouldn't have to bother. And then, yeah, I was all set to write my book. And then everyone around me is telling me, well, no one reads anymore. You need to do something online and make it a bit more user friendly, a bit more achievable for people to actually use, and a bit more fun to take part with. So the why is that it's needed. I think parents are a huge tool that we can be using to create a safer driver. I don't think parents understand how to do it properly. We're asking the blind to lead the blind, essentially. They don't know how to train people to drive. They may not be the best of drivers themselves or the most confident themselves. One of the frequent things we get back is they don't want to break their learner with their own bad habits. So if we can fix those bad habits so they've got confidence to go out. But the big why is this year group of 17, 18-year-olds that I'm working with at the moment in Okehampton area. We sadly have lost four members of our youngsters over the last 18 months, 2 years. And so the first one was sad enough, the second one was awful. And at the point of the second one, you think, no, something's got to change here. Nothing's being learned, no lessons, nothing's moving on. We just sat here waiting for the next one. And then sadly, we had the third and the fourth that passed away this autumn, well, Christmas. And it was just awful. And that's why, because something has to change. And it's not going to come from government anytime soon. We all do our best as driving instructors, but ultimately, as a parent, who is responsible to make sure that the child knows everything? And if we can give the parents the tools to take that responsibility and that knowledge and make sure that it's happening, then hopefully we won't be put in this situation again where we are losing masses of our young people.
Yeah, I think that the roads around Okehampton are those sort of roads as well, aren't they? Where they are high risk because of the
It
speed.
is.
And
It's, yeah, it's not good.
no,
It's
and
not
but
good.
actually, again, I say high risk because of the speeds and the bend, but actually, those aren't the things that cause the collisions. It's the decisions that people make going into
It
those.
is. Yeah, there's a whole multitude. I mean, I work with TDC doing the fleet driving and the SCD courses, and we get an overview of all of them. I see a lot of the crashes of young people where they've lived and walked away to tell the tale. And yeah, there's a lot of driver attitude and poor decision making, but there's a real lack of actual skill, and people just don't know how to take bends, even living around here. And I think that needs to change.
Yeah. So I was actually going to come on to this later, but it feels more kind of worth talking about because of the what you brought up there with the deaths. You do talk about the graduated driving license in the course,
I do.
and obviously, like you said, that's potentially not looking like it's going to come in anytime soon with the government. So within the course, then is. But how do you see that working within the course? Is it just making parents aware of it, or what?
So being seeing as we're not going to be given our own country's graduated licensing system anytime soon, why not help families create their own so that a family can sit down with their new drivers and they can all discuss the risks, the reality, what life needs from that driver, and how they can manage the risks within those realms. And create a bit of a family contract so that they are all on the same page. It might be that their learners know they can't drive between midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning, or that they won't carry passengers for the first however many months until they feel comfortable, or that the parents checking in a bit more frequently, where are you going, who are you seeing, and that that's not parents being nosy. That is just some sort of it's going to be different in every family. There's no prescribed way of doing this. But to have families actually sit down and just have that open conversation about the reality of this, and the risks that might happen.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, and I've always thought that should be the case. The issue, I think, obviously, without it being brought in by the government, is that's not going to happen en
Not
masse.
going to happen. No.
And so you're only going to get the sort of families that probably would have done something anyway that are going to sort of buy into this. But I do like that it's in the course and is suggested because it, like you said, even if it pushes one family to make that decision, have that conversation. That this made a change, made a difference, which I absolutely love.
Exactly. And we all have to start somewhere. I've looked at this from so many different angles of, do we create something for those families who don't want change, who don't, they're not interested, they don't want to engage with it. And we could pull our hair out and try really hard for those people, but actually we've got to start somewhere. So let's start with the people who want to embrace a change but don't know how, who want to learn. And who want to put this in place and help keep their learners safe. And then, on a bigger scale, if we all put our heads together, hopefully we can find a way of getting to those who perhaps need a little bit more persuasion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, the more it becomes the norm, then maybe that is also because it makes it easier to change legislation. It's interesting because, as well, I think, again, this is why I think this is so good, is because they don't always, like, parents don't always know what to do and how to have those conversations, or even what to have the conversations about. You mentioned about not having friends in the car. That doesn't necessarily might not be a first thing they think about. So, for example, they might be talking about them not going over the speed limit, not drink driving. Like, those things would probably become quite obvious, but it's not always obvious to say don't have your friends in the car. That doesn't always seem like a risk factor unless, like, we know that because we know the stats. But I can see how, like, somebody wouldn't know that quite. They wouldn't see that as a risk.
Don't think they do. Yeah, the parents just don't understand what the risks are. They haven't been told. And I'd like part of this is to say what to really spell it out. And I'm going to be quite. I'm not going to hold back on it. I'm not going to mollycoddle anybody in this. There is a very stark risk and reality to what's happening on our roads. And I think as parents, we wrap our kids up in cotton wool from day one and we do everything we can to make sure they're okay. And I'd like to think that come 17, we still have that sort of nurturing feeling towards our little gremlins and want to keep them safe.
Yeah, it is
And so
interesting that, isn't it, though, that we do, like, as parents, we do throughout their lives constantly keep, like, keeping them safe and having conversations with them. But then when it comes to driving, parents go to that, oh, I just want to give it a go on
just
the test. Off you go, get out of the car as soon as you possibly can.
and actually timed with the brain development of a 17-year-old, that is the one time where we really need to really rein it in and make sure that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And like I said, that can only tell me, though, that It can't be the parents at the age of when the kids get 17 suddenly stop going, nah, I don't really care. It can only be because, like you say, they're not educated. They don't understand the dangers. They don't see the risks of driving. And so that has to be the reason for the sort of
Yeah, I think from watching what's happened in our area over the last couple of years, we have these awful incidents. Everyone spends a week really shocked, and rightly so. We go past a week and things start to quiet down. It's like everybody just sticks their head in the sand. Nobody wants to think about it because it's hard. It's a really awful. How do you even contemplate that feeling, that loss? So we ignore it as parents, and we just hope that it's never going to happen to us. We have that bias of, oh, those bad things happen to other people. They don't happen to our family. And we sit there and we wait, and then the next one happens, but nobody knows what to do, nobody knows how to do it, and nobody wants to embrace that feeling or that fear, because it is a fear of what might happen. So we just ignore it and carry on as if nothing happened, which drives me absolutely mad.
I think, unfortunately, we are wired as humans to do that, because
Yes, we are.
otherwise we would walk around anxious messes. But like you said, then it's about making the positive changes so that we don't have to worry about it as much, I think, is the key, which is where your course comes in. So tell me a bit more about the course then. Like, what's because you said about like it improves their driving and then potentially how they're then supporting the young driver and hopefully obviously having that sort of I think you called it a family contract in the course,
Yeah.
which I love. Yeah, so tell me more about how it worked. Like, so for an instructor like listening in who's thinking, oh, I might recommend this to my pupils, like what's in the course?
So, I haven't decided on the full order yet, but I'll start at the basics, and we start with the key theory for the parents, just to refresh on what they probably haven't read in about 30 years. Not a theory test, because that would be utterly boring. So it's just take from a safe and considerate driving course or a speed awareness course those key sort of lines and sign meanings, and then I'll just load it up on my screen, but it's more attitudes. So the ones I've just been working on are imagining you are in the supermarket and there are no rules left. And everybody's having a free-for-all trying to pay for that shopping at the queue, and we're all climbing on top of each other. And I've put a little old lady in that picture, but it could be anybody. I keep varying it. So how are they feeling in that scenario? We wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't expect to walk into a supermarket like that. So why on the roads then are we having that sort of attitude where parents, they're pushing other people, tailgating, beeping, whatever it might be. So it's not a sort of shove down your neck theory. There's plenty of theory apps for that on the highway code, but it's more of a looking at the awareness, the attitudes, what are the rules, so that parents can start paying a little bit more attention to them. From there, I have, and I'll just load it up again, going into commentary driving, which I'm hoping everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say commentary driving, saying what you see. It's something I use every lesson, every day, getting our learners to read out what they can actually see so that they can start thinking about what they're doing. It won't happen straight away, but if they haven't seen it, they're not going to think about it. So getting parents to learn that skill so that from a young age, a child can have a parent who's talking them through what they're seeing, what they're doing. And the kids that come from that background, they just get in the car and they can see the road ahead, and they can talk through what they're doing, and they learn so much quicker. So rather than waiting until they're 17, I've designed a course that in that section that they can do it from the passenger side. So they're learning to read the road out loud, starting to anticipate whilst in the passenger side what might happen with the road users around them, and then planning. Once they've got that idea of what's going to happen, actually, well, what are you going to do here ahead of this thing that's about to happen? By doing it out of the driving seat, we take away all that distraction, all the car control that we know how it goes when you ask a learner to do car control and planning at the same time. At the early days, it doesn't go well. So it's showing parents how to focus on teaching the actual planning skills. So when they then get in the car with us as instructors, we can do all of the car control and start merging those skills together. It then goes on to the learner driver in the driving seat starting to plan on the move as well. And I've just done a video course step by step. It is not perfect. I am not a TV presenter, but it's a start and it will be upgraded as time goes by.
I like the fact that it focuses on improving the parents' skills, because then you can obviously, like, if you've got a better driver there later. I think a really good example of this is if you get a pupil whose parent is police force or fire brigade or something, where they've had extra driving training and they're taking them out private practice, you notice the difference in that
You
pupil.
do, don't you? Yeah,
Anything you can
absolutely.
do to improve that the parents driving is obviously going to have a knock-on effect. You said something interesting there that I want to just ask you about, is about trying to, like, for this to be parents before they're 17. So, because it's something that I do with my kids, like, I make them aware of driving as we're driving around, because I agree that if you do that all the way up until they're 17, so much
Yes,
easier to teach them.
it's so much easier.
So is your plan for this to also, I'm guessing, obviously, to go out to learners, but are you hoping this goes out to people with younger kids as well?
Yeah, so this is just the first course. I have got many courses. Some are written, some are still on paper on my desk somewhere. But ultimately, yes, to go out to parents of all ages of children with age-appropriate challenges and games that they can be playing in the car. So I'm hoping that by Christmas I will have the Learn to Live campaign sort of with my learner driver in mind with that, with a free course that goes into schools. Next year, I'm hoping to bring that down to Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2, and Key Stage 3. So there'll be free courses that go into the schools that just give that basic information for parents, laying out the risks, giving them some tips on what they can do, that will hopefully start the behavioural change that we really want to see here. It's not going to start unless we give them a kick up the arse, I don't think.
No, absolutely. And I agree, because I've seen it with my kids that they're just a bit more aware. Where I notice it actually, crossing the road.
Yeah, definitely.
And Diana asked me this question once, because she always asks everyone, like, what do you tell your kids when they're crossing the road? And I think they always say something about, like, looking right or left or something, and it's not the right way. And actually my answer was, I don't tell them where to look. I ask them what they're
Yeah.
looking for, and that's very
Yes.
driving instructor of me. But you can tell the difference. Like, my kids, when they're coming up to the roads, are more like they're thinking rather than they're not trying to repeat the action that I've taught them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that obviously you can then, like you say, you can work all the way through with that. But people don't know that. Like, I just happen to be a driving instructor, so I think like that. But it is trying
Yeah.
to instill that. So, yeah, no, I love the fact that you're also doing other stuff to bring it into the younger generation too.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, all of this has been inspired by one young lady who she comes from an underprivileged background, and she's had a challenging time, but if anything that her parents have done right, it was really that talking through what they're doing in the car. Because she gets in the first day she got in the car, it was just incredible. She just had it, like she knew it. She'd never driven before. And because parents had always talked her through what they were doing, she just knew what was on. She's so switched on. It was brilliant. And I think
Just out of interest, why had they done that? Like, what had sparked that from their point of
don't
view?
know. No, I've not been able to speak to parents to ask, but it's just how it always was. But the
Right.
difference it made when they got in the car was incredible.
Yeah, no, yeah, I really like that. So when in making all of this, what challenges have you come across? Because I'm sure it's not been a breeze.
Challenges that I am the least tech savvy person there is going. I mean, I've only mentioned two of the modules. I've got about four more modules on there that are coming, all of them needing to be filmed. So I am not a public speaking happy person, not overly keen on being on camera. So I've had to overcome my own sort of insecurities about that. Actually, getting it onto the laptop, I've upgraded to a Mac, which I've never used a Mac before. I've been introduced to the world of Adobe and the Pro Studio for video editing, which I mean, I loaded the first time with a blank screen. So that it's taken me about 4 months to really sort of master what I'm doing with the tech side of things. Oh, just getting parents to come on board. I don't like to call parents lazy, but trying to engage parents to take a more proactive approach to the learning process, so that they're being a bit more involved in what the learners are doing. Not all parents have got time to do that. So identifying those barriers, and I still haven't got the answers of how to get over a lot of them, but it's a work in progress. Time, I don't have masses of time. I'm having to create time. I'm having to take a lot of time out of lessons. So financially, it's been challenging. We've made it happen, but it's not been easy. So yeah, there are many challenges I am facing, but I'm getting there.
Like the overcoming the challenges, and it's really
Yeah.
actually about, because I think obviously a lot of them I faced as well, because like with slightly different thing with Inspire, but creating videos and the tech and stuff. Unfortunately, I'm relatively happy exploring tech at least. I'm not necessarily an expert, but I like playing
Yeah.
around with it. It's certainly my job when it comes to between me and Diana. The video thing though, I think is really interesting, because I think a lot of people, that holds them back from doing stuff like this. I think there's probably quite a few instructors out there that have these sort of ideas and want to put this sort of kind of stuff out, but don't. The video is the thing. The video is that I don't want us to sit, stand in front of a camera and talk.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, I think I was more awkward when I first started making videos, and I've gradually become a bit more comfortable. Same with recording podcasts,
Yeah.
and you do just become like, it's like anything, you gain experience, you become better at doing these things, but it is that first hurdle. So was there anything
Yeah.
particular you did to kind of, or did you just have to jump in?
I mean, the first takes of me talking were just awful, to be honest. No, and it was winter. I mean, I was just in here and it was dark and I had no idea what I was doing. So it took probably four recordings to get to the level we're at now of the out of car stuff. And that has, I think I've relaxed as time goes by. Listening to it back, I realize actually I'm not as awful as I thought I was. It's okay, like it will do. And actually nobody really cares, so that's fine. The in-car stuff, I've only needed to do one take. It's because it's so in the corner of the windscreen and you don't really know it's there, and it just becomes a normal driving lesson. And so that side of things has been absolutely fine. It's been the sitting down like this in front of a camera where I'm a
No,
little
and
bit
actually,
stiff and
that goes to what I was saying about the experience, like the in-car stuff. You're just doing your job, and you've been doing that all the time. So, yeah, it is interesting. Like you did the whole like, let's do lots of takes, and I think I went through that process of like making lots of takes, and now
yeah,
we're.
I did them over time. It wasn't all in one day. I just probably did it
Yeah.
over 3 months where I sort of had holding videos where I knew they weren't great, but we needed something to put in there to kind of just show what I wanted to do to the people who were behind the scenes helping me. And then just going back and redoing them, and each time doing them, the people behind would say, no, just try it on a blank background, for example, or get a microphone.
Yeah,
Don't have
no.
your bed in the corner of the picture. Oh, okay.
But this is how we learn. I think it's
Yes.
I remember listening to a podcast, and they were talking about this, like, to get good at something, your job is to like go and fail as many times as possible. It's like, do it as rather than trying to make the perfect thing, go and make a lot of that thing, and you will then end up
Yeah.
with the better product.
Yeah.
I know Stephen Bartlett talks about this, that he challenged himself to write, I think it was write a question every day, or put a post out on social media or something like that every single day, with the intention of the fact that if he did something every single day, he's going to get good at it. It wasn't about each one being perfect. It's like, if you just keep
Yeah.
doing stuff every single day, or whatever time frame you want, you're going to get good at it. And so I think that is probably my bit of advice for anyone who is worried about making that jump of doing something, whether it's videos or anything different, is to go and fail, basically.
I think you have to be in that mindset where you're okay to fail. Like, that it's okay to get this wrong. And also, I guess being that little bit older now as well, that knowing that nobody really cares that much, not enough for it to matter whether you do it well or badly, like as long as it's done. The judgment isn't, I mean, they'll shoot me down, I'm sure, but the judgment isn't as bad as I
No,
thought it would
I
be.
also find I don't care as much, even if it is
That's it, yes.
badly. I'm just like, I don't really care what you think. Like, I might
That's
think
it.
on board and see if I can improve if it's like positive,
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
if it's good, like constructive criticism, I would be happy to sort of take on and learn. But if it's someone who just wants to have a little moan, going for like my example for your product would be someone who came on and went, well, this isn't going to work, like players aren't going to do that, that sort of, I'd be like, yeah, you're not my type of people.
No.
Move on. Find someone.
Yeah, I mean, my only comeback is, well, what we're doing at the minute, is it working? Are
Exactly.
we reducing road death? No. Well, the worst thing that's going to happen is that people get annoyed with me and it doesn't work, but no one's going to die from it. So it's okay. Hopefully, it will save a few lives the other way around. I'm okay for it to fail. I'm hoping it doesn't, and I could really do with it not failing, especially with how much it's cost me to make. But yes, it would be, it's okay.
No, and I think this is big actually. I think because it was something I was going to mention earlier that like a lot of people will sit around and talk about this, like road safety. They'll maybe even put a couple of posts on social media, or moan about road safety or moan about parents and stuff like that. And I think actually the big thing that's different is you're doing something. And that's the key, is like if everybody was doing something, it would all little
We
bit.
would,
It
yeah.
would make a difference.
We've got such an amazing team of instructors in this country, and if we all work together and really put our heads down and all do something, we can make a big change, and people should, if they can, try. The failure's okay. Like I'm probably going to be there at some point, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Keep failing until you get it right. I have
Yeah.
another question about the course, because it sparked my interest. So
Yeah.
I noticed that you described IPSCA,
IPSCA.
IPSCA rather than MSPSL, and I assumed that was like a conscious decision to do that, and I
Yes, I
wondered
actively avoid MSPSGS. Yeah.
what.
I don't really like acronyms either, so I'm kind of loath to even use IPSCA, but we have to use something to demonstrate what it is we mean on paper. Why have I chosen IPSCA? I spend more time working on the SCD UK Row Ed courses than I do with learners. I think that's just practicality. Firstly, they don't qualified drivers don't want to hear about MSPSGL. They've done been there, done that. They know what it means, so they say, in inverted commas. But driving isn't about checking your mirrors, signalling. It's what are we looking for, and why do we need to tell other people? Who are we telling? So I'm very keen to sort of be away from. Check your left mirror. Great, done. Checked it. What was in it? Did you see anything? So rather than the MSPS, I like the IPSCA because you actually look for the information you need and then you can choose your position. Change your speed to what's suitable for that, choose your gear that's suitable for that and accelerate away. So rather than that learner style MSM, which is it's fine, it has its place. In the early days, it has its place.
Yeah, I like it, and I
Shoot me
agree.
down, it's fine. I'm ready to fail.
I 100% agree. I don't use MSPSL in my car. In a way, I think I get my pupils following that routine, but I don't call it MSPSL, if that makes sense. And actually, it's Garaz, kind of a similar vibe in a sense, because if you change the words, it's still similar vibe, isn't it? But the thing that for me, the big thing is that, and I love it about it, is the information bit.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when you're looking in your mirrors, it isn't just looking in your mirrors, it's actually
No.
seeing what's in your mirrors. And
Or looking at your mirrors. That's not helpful.
we're not trying to create a head bob. We're trying to go,
Yeah.
what information, and quite often my prompts are that, like, what do we need to know? Like, what are we looking for?
Yeah, I go with what's next to us that we're about to knock over.
Yeah. Basically, so it's that, and so yeah, no, I liked it. It was just something that jumped out at me when I saw it. But, and I suppose as well, because this is aimed at parents, it, again, it's that sort of kind of getting them to think next level. I think it's a very good system that they can easily take on board and go and put it into their driving and have an instant impact if they're not.
I'm not ruling it out completely because I'm very aware that the majority of instructors at early level learner lessons will be using it. And so I think it's important that parents know what it is. So one of the modules that I think I'm working on this month at the moment is looking at where that routine overview of a junction, what a learner's doing and when with that MSPSGL routine. But then actually taking an even more zoomed out approach, where does the parent need to start doing this routine? A bit like we would as an instructor, so that at the point that they need to be concentrating on the learner, they've done all of their checks. They can take their eyes off the around them and focus on what their learner's doing to help the learner get it right. So there will be a mention of it spaced out so that everyone knows what it means, but it's just not what I use.
So yeah, and I think if a pupil got in the car and was doing like doing information position, it would work with MSPSL anyway, and it'd be great because they're actually like I would love it if my pupil got in the car and was following that system.
I just love it if my learners got in the car and knew that they had to look at the furthest point of the road ahead and not the little piece of tarmac in front of them would be a great start.
Yeah, so. What is your plan with this product? So what, for instructors listening, what do you want them to go and do? And what's your big goal with the product?
So, I mean, not one to take on a small project or to do things by half. I have also written an instructor version of the course. So it will be very much this is what we've got on the learner side of things. This is how you can support and talk to your parents and coach your parents. Something I've been working on this last year is when I take on a new student, I don't always take the learner out first. I get the parent in the driving seat and we'll do half an hour, 45-minute lesson with the parent. Looking at their bad habits, how to fix those, general approach, how to be a bit more hands-off than tell. Learner sits in the back, so we engage both parties. So the learner's sort of getting a feel of how this is going to work, and they've got some things they can laugh at their parents for afterwards and work on together with the parents. So it's a coaching guide for instructors to support the course between learners and parents. What do I see long term? I honestly don't know. I've kind of set out on this path, and I'd love for all learners and their private practice to take on board so that we can all make some big changes, but I'm very aware that that isn't going to happen. I'd love for instructors to get involved and encourage that private practice. I'm hoping to have some funded research to really look at the techniques here and make sure that they're doing what they need to do, that they're making a difference. And I think once I've got that research complete, that will be a big tick. Once I've done that and I've done the free courses for in the schools, I've got another three or four courses I would like to write, still with driving in mind, not necessarily for learners. And I've been asked to ghostwrite as well for other people now. So I think we'll become a bit of a hosting platform for whatever instructors want to write, really. If there's amazing instructors out there with amazing ideas who perhaps struggle with writing or struggle with videos, let's help them get those ideas out there.
I
Long
love
time. I mean,
that.
we're a long way off that, but.
Yeah. I love that. And I love the ambition. And I also love the fact you said you're really busy and then just listed a whole bunch of stuff that.
So you don't know me from my history yet. I used to farm. We farmed for 10 years and built our own house. Built our own business with that whilst having two young children. We did the whole grand designs thing and designed the first hydroponic farm in the UK, which we've now sold. So I'm quite used to juggling. I'm not used to being quiet and calm and bored. So it'll all happen in its own good time.
Busy, busy, busy. What you were talking about getting your parents in the car early on, which I love doing that. Actually, I might
It's
try
great
that.
fun.
I might try that. And you were talking also about, I assume you also get your parents in the back as well when the learner's
Oh
driving as well. So it is that collaborative sort of kind of thing. And the other thing I've started doing recently, and actually this is one of the games that you suggested it in the course, which is the no stopping game.
Yes.
And one of the things I do when I play the no stopping game with my pupils and they are doing private practice is I go and get them to have a competition with their parents. So who can drive the longest without stopping? And I love the little competition element of that just because they come back going, I'll beat my dad. I think it's
So
that.
look,
Go
a
on.
lot of the games and challenges I've done is so it's a bit of a symbiotic learning thing between parents and learners.
Yeah, if you can create that element of competition, it makes it fun and it creates this sort of kind of wanting everybody wanting to be better and which I think is really great. So yeah, like I said, I think we've given everyone a nice taste of what it's all about, and like I said, hopefully everybody will go and have a look at it and recommend it to their parent, to their people's parents and their pupils. Where can they find it?
So it's on our website www.mylearnerdriver.co.uk. There is a link off there to buy the course. It's on 75% early bird discount because it isn't finished. It's got two full modules on there. Module 3 and 4 are coming at the end of June, and then 5 and 6 will be on there at the end of probably August. So it's only £14.75 at the minute, which I'm hoping is a nice achievable amount for people to get started with.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, that's achievable for an instructor to just go and have a little look at it to
I hope so.
if they want to recommend it, which I'm sure they will
Yeah.
looking at it because I looked at it and thought it was great. So
Oh, I'm glad because, well, it's one of those, isn't it? You go into these things hoping for the best. I know it works. I've seen it work. I'm hoping other people will start adopting it and seeing that it works as well. But that's going to take a bit of time.
brilliant. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Phil.
Inspiring Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops.